Many of you have already heard about the Israeli-based NSO group and their Pegasus spyware. Well, it turns out here in Europe we have now a similar case with the Intellexe Alliance, a European-based surveillance supplier. The insights presented today originate from the Predator files leak analyzed by Amnesty International in collaboration with the European Investigative Collaborations. Don Cacarel, the leader of the Amnesty International Security Lab, is now going to present us what they have found. Carol, thanks.
Thank you for having me here today. This is Mr. Chung Ko Lee, an independent journalist based here in Germany, in Berlin. He runs Taobao, one of the most prominent and popular independent media organizations publishing on Vietnam. He's also a target of the Predator spyware developed by the European-based Intellexe Alliance. In this talk, I will tell you three things. First, I'll outline how we investigated and documented the use of Predator to target Mr. Lee and a number of other activists and prominent individuals. I'll also do a deep dive into the range of technical products, spyware tools, and surveillance equipment developed and sold by the Intellexe Alliance and used to enable such attacks. And finally, I'll put Intellexe and these attacks in the context of the wider problem of surveillance misuse, both in Europe and around the world. My name is Denico Carroll, and I'm the head of the Security Lab at Amnesty International. We have an interdisciplinary team of researchers, advocates, campaigners, and lawyers who work to investigate and document human rights harms from emerging technology, including the misuse of surveillance technology and spyware. As part of this work, we do research and investigations to technically investigate and document how spyware is being used. We develop and publish open source tools such as MVT to help civil society more broadly investigate and document these attacks. And finally, we use this research and investigations to do evidence-based campaigning and advocacy, trying to get accountability for victims and to rein in the abuses from this industry. So this investigation arose from a collaboration with the European Investigative Collaborations Network, particularly in collaboration with Der Spiegel, a media part, who got access to a huge amount of internal documents and information, which shone a light on how one particular European spyware alliance, known as Intellexe, collaborated together to basically pool their resources and develop a whole ecosystem of products, surveillance tools, and spyware that they can then sell to governments around the world. The Intellexe Alliance is comprised of companies from across Europe, but in France, in Germany, in Cyprus, North Macedonia, Ireland, and elsewhere, who are acting together to develop and compete with some of the biggest surveillance vendors in the space. This investigation also uncovered leaked documents and technical brochures and marketing material about specific spyware products developed by Intellexe, and through analyzing these products, we were able to then show a light for the first time of how these particular tools work in practice and what kind of things they're pitching to their customers to try and meet the needs and objectives of their government surveillance customers. Finally, in our role at Amnesty was to work with the media partners to help both find how these tools are being used concretely to target specific individuals, and also to analyze the technical material to document how these surveillance tools work in practice. Before I jump into the investigation, first I want to give a bit of an overview of how the Predator spyware works in practice. So Predator is a form of highly invasive spyware designed to attack iPhones and Android devices. And what it does is it uses a series of exploits, often zero-day exploits, which are unpatched and can target even the most up-to-date devices. And it uses these exploits to kind of burrow past the security mechanisms in place on a device to be able to install and implant the Predator spyware on the phone itself. Once the Predator spyware is installed, it can then access everything that the user can access on the device and more. It can read your photos, It can read your signal messages. It can even turn on your microphone or GPS sensors to record your data and your location and what you're saying around your device. So as you can imagine, this is really highly invasive. I think what's also interesting about Intellexa is that they take something that's extremely complex, often these very difficult to find and develop exploits and surveillance techniques, and they package all of this up together in kind of one user-friendly interface that then any government customer who can afford to spend 10 million or 15 million euro can kind of buy it off the shelf, get a nice point-and-click interface, as you see here, to both target a particular device and then suck up all of the data and analyze that as they wish. So it takes something that was previously highly sophisticated and only accessible to a very small number of technical states and makes it available to basically any government who has the money and ability to buy this. Intellexa's predator spyware is typically deployed as a one-click attack. So a one-click attack is where there's some user interaction required from the end user. Most often, this is done by sending the target a malicious link to a predator-linked domain name. You can see an example here on the right of a predator link sent over WhatsApp that was discovered by Citizen Lab in 2021. And just by clicking on this link, the phone's browser will navigate to the malicious website. It'll load an exploit in JavaScript, for example, and that code will be enough to start bypassing the security mechanism on the phone and eventually to install the full spyware system. So, now that we know a little bit about how Predator works, I want to dive into how we discovered this system being used in the wild to target journalists and civil society. As part of the work of our team, we're always trying to understand what surveillance companies are out there, what kind of products are being used by governments, and ultimately trying to figure out who might be targeted by these attacks. We regularly, for example, go to trade conferences to figure out what companies are out there. We'll try to talk to sources, and we'll also do technical scanning and measurements to identify particular infection servers or spyware servers being used by companies such as Intellexa. From this ongoing kind of intelligence gathering work, we identified a number of domains being used to deliver Intellexa's spyware. And from this, we, through some Googling, found that one of these domains, unexpectedly, was showing up on Twitter. You'll see here on the bottom left a tweet by an account named Joseph Gordon, written in Vietnamese, claiming this link to news.co, and a kind of ran a URL with a random section at the end. So we knew this domain was already linked to Predator based on our information gathering, and so here we saw what appeared to be somebody trying to infect users publicly on Twitter with spyware. This tweet is actually being sent in reply to Taobao, which is the website being run by Mr. Li, who I mentioned in the first slide. And if he or anyone else, for that matter, had clicked on this link when it was active, that alone, just one click, could have been enough for the spyware to burrow itself into his device. As you can imagine, this is quite unexpected. Normally, we see these links being sent over Signal or private messages, and it's very unusual to see it sent so publicly. So this is, I'd say, quite a brazen attack. Some may say, quite a foolish way to spread an exploit and try to target somebody, as here, almost anybody could be targeted or infected by this if they'd clicked on the link. But at least from our point of view, this is something that, okay, it seemed to be an attack and we wanted to investigate it further. So as we continued to look at this, we saw other tweets sent by the same account targeting people working on security and maritime issues in the South China Sea. Later we saw the same account sending tweets in Spanish talking about EU yellow card, which is basically something to do with how the EU is regulating illegal fisheries. And we learned later is also relevant to this investigation. And then I think most shockingly or most kind of brazenly, we saw that this same account began to target senior European politicians. On the top left, we'll see Emily Haber, who at the time was the German ambassador to the US, being targeted on her Twitter account with a malicious predator link. Here at the bottom, we see the European Commission's official Twitter account itself being targeted with the predator. And on the right, we'll see Roberta Metsola, who at the time was the president of the European Parliament, again being sent these exploit links. And just to remind you how dangerous this is, It would just simply take one click from either the politicians themselves, particular staff members, and that could be enough for the operator behind this Pegasus customer to get all the data and infect their devices. Finally, we even saw them targeting some heads of state, in this case, targeting the president of Taiwan, as well as a number of senior US congresspeople and officials who were also included in these tweets and who also got sent the attack links. So I think this is quite a reckless attack, but I think what's helpful here is it does show kind of a snapshot of the kind of people that a customer of Predator is targeting. They say it's only being used to target criminals and terrorists, but here we'll see that they're targeting a range of people from independent journalists, maybe political allies or political opponents who don't want to get information on, and using a tool of intelligence gathering very far from the potentially legitimate purposes that they claim these tools are aimed for. So how did we go about investigating and unraveling these attacks? So at this point, it was when the collaboration with European Investors Collaborations and media partner Spiegel really began to shine, as they had access to a huge amount of internal information showing how the company is operating. So when we started with the information we had so far, we began to suspect that most likely Vietnam is a customer behind the attacks. We see the Vietnamese journalists being targeted. We see kind of relevant neighboring countries in East Asia being targeted. And so this is what our suspicion was, but we didn't have enough yet to really conclude if it was a government customer, if it was somebody else using it, if it was potentially a neighboring country using it. So we began to work with the journalists from EIC, digging into their data, and that was immediately quite revealing. So the first clue we saw was contracts and documentation that EIC and MediaPirate uncovered, which showed that in 2020, Next Technology, which is a component company of the Intel Axon Alliance, did a deal with Vietnam's Ministry of Public Security for what they termed infection solutions. So it doesn't take a lot to understand that infection solutions probably or most likely means spyware. At the time, we saw that this deal was done through Intel Axon Alliance's sister company in the UAE, a country that's often used to kind of broker deals and try to maybe sidestep some of the existing EU regulation. This deal was termed, codenamed Anglerfish, and was valued at 5.6 million euros. So it's quite a substantial amount of money for the deal with this customer. As we continued to dig into this particular customer with the media partners, we managed to find other information that really helped to substantiate that the deal was done with Vietnam. We found another contract that shows in February 2021, the same Advanced Middle East Systems entity had an agreement with Delsons Hong Kong Limited, a separate company that's acted as a broker for these kinds of surveillance deals, again, for infection solutions and spyware. I don't think anyone here will know Delsons Hong Kong, but when we started looking into them, we realized that they were also previously linked to other spyware sales in the past. A leaked emails from Hacking Team shows that Delsons Hong Kong had previously engaged with Hacking Team in trying to buy their Hacking Team spyware. In that time, in the original emails, they even said that they were working for a target, which is the Ministry of Public Security of Vietnam, to try and procure Hacking Team emails, Hacking Team spyware. And here again, we see that they're likely trying to procure new Predator spyware on behalf of the same customers. I think the final piece of evidence that helped us conclude that indeed Predator was sold to Vietnam is independently we found shipment records which publicly document a shipment in late November 2021 of something that they call mobile phone monitoring modules belonging to a professional software system from manufacturer AS, which we believe is Advanced Systems. And so this was kind of the smoking gun that indeed the spyware was indeed supplied to Delsons, and then Delsons, as a broker, supplied it to this agency in Vietnam, who's also working with the Ministry of Public Security. So it's very, very seldom that we get so much kind of documentation material to show the full chain of contracts, suppliers, brokers, and eventually how the spyware is being used. So here is the Ministry of Public Security, who we believe is linked to the purchase and use of this spyware, particularly their department called the Department of Professional Technology, which is the cyber intelligence or technical surveillance department in the MOPS. We know from other records that the Intellexa group of companies and Nexa group had previously done deals and worked with units of this department, including units A70 and A71. We also conferred with researchers at Google's Threat Analysis Group, who's independently investigating this attack, and their findings, through their technical research, also found that the spyware and these spyware attacks targeting Mr. Lee and the senior politicians was attributed to a government actor in Vietnam. So I think we have a lot of understanding of how this sale actually happened. I think, unfortunately, we still have a number of open questions. One particular open question is we still don't know who authorized the sale of the spyware. Any sale of spyware from Europe is meant to go through a dual-use regulation process, and it should get an export license, which basically determines that indeed the spyware is being sold to a government end customer, and that the government end customer agrees not to use it illegitimately to target rights defenders or to impinge on human rights. Unfortunately, with the conglomerate of companies we saw here, based in France, in Greece, in the UAE, we are not even sure which company was officially responsible for getting the export licenses. Nexa Group said they didn't get the export license. The UAE said they didn't grant the export licenses. So we suspect Greece maybe have granted the export license. But here we see a problem where we don't even know where we should go to ask to see who should be accountable for overseeing these companies, let alone if the government has actually enforced these rules or enforced proper regulation in practice. So while we talked a lot about spyware and one-click attacks, what I want to make clear is that this is not just a technical problem. It's not just about surveillance or privacy impact, but these digital threats can vary very often and have, in many cases, enabled concrete physical threats and physical violence targeting individuals. In the case of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who was murdered in the Saudi embassy in Turkey, we found that his wife was targeted with the Pegasus spyware in the months leading up to his murder. And we found that other family members, just days after his brutal killing, were also again targeted and hacked with Pegasus. So we see how states, authoritarian states, are not just using these to gather information, but in many cases can and will use these as part of other more serious and more gruesome series of threats that they are trying to use against their opponents and their critics. We've also seen similar correlation and attacks happening in the case of Karine Kanimba, who's the daughter of an outspoken Rwandan activist who was detained and transferred to Rwanda against his will. And around the same time, Karine, who was campaigning for his release, was also targeted abroad in Belgium with the spyware and used to track her and gather information about their case and their defenses. In the case of Mr. Lee, unfortunately, this is not also out of the realms of possibilities. We know the German government have said that the Vietnamese authorities have kidnapped individuals from the streets of Berlin and transported them to Vietnam unlawfully. And Mr. Lee himself, for his journalism work, is currently under active police protection due to the amount of threats of physical violence and other threats that he receives. So I think it's not beyond the possibility to imagine how states like Vietnam or Saudi Arabia or others can use these kinds of surveillance tools developed by an EU company to go and target dissidents, activists, and critics abroad, and potentially to use that to track them, kidnap them, or do worse to them. And all of these tools are not just used for surveillance, but enable a whole host of harms to critics around the world. So now that I've shown you, how these tools are used in practice, I want to take a chance to dive a bit deeper into the whole ecosystem of surveillance products, both predator and accompanying tools that the Intellexa Alliance offers to enable their customers to carry out these kinds of attacks and surveillance. As I mentioned, Intellexa is typically a one-click spyware, normally sent to a target via a URL sent over SMS or WhatsApp. One clicks can be very powerful. All it takes is one, just opening the link to infect the phone, but they also have a number of limitations. So one limitation is, firstly, the target needs to click the link. If you are somebody writing them out of the blue, people are suspicious, maybe they don't click the link, maybe they think it's spam, so it's not guaranteed that you're going to be able to infect the target. It also has the risk that if the target is cautious or careful about these kinds of threats, they may spot the link and say, this is something I'm worried about, not open it, and share it with researchers like us at Amnesty or others, which couldn't help expose the threats they're facing. So what most customers are really demanding and what they really seek are zero-click attacks, because these are just the kind of gold standard, the best they can get. A zero-click attack is basically any kind of exploit or digital threat that lets you compromise a phone completely remotely without necessarily having any user interaction from the target itself. So these are extremely reliable, extremely difficult to detect. On the other hand, they're also extremely difficult for a company like Intellexa to develop or buy, and it can be very, very expensive. So we know NSO Group has developed these in the past, but it's not something that every company can develop, and it also takes a lot of work and a lot of risk to try and develop these kinds of tools. However, we do know that Intellexa has some tricks up their sleeve on how they can use their existing one-click exploits targeting Android and iOS and turn them into a kind of zero-click exploit to compromise their targets. And so how they do this is they offer a range of products that enable what we call network injection. So network injection is a way where a company or a customer can take a traditional browser exploit, a one-click exploit, and make it fully automatic to silently infect the target. And so how they do this is by redirecting the target's traffic. If I'm a government, such as, for example, Morocco, and I have control of the mobile phone operator, I can install some hardware in the phone operator's network. And then for any victim who I might want to attack, I can route all of their traffic through my network hardware. And then all I need to do is wait for the target to browse the web, browse the HTTPS websites, and eventually they'll click a link that's HTTP only. Once they click this HTTP link, the middle box hardware can see this HTTP request coming in unencrypted, and then they can reply with a redirect. This simply redirects the person's phone silently, not to the original website they wanted to target, they wanted to visit, but instead to a malicious predator infection server. So in this case, the target, just by browsing the web, can unintentionally be redirected to the malicious website, get exploited, maybe they get a loading message for 10 seconds, and then silently getting redirected back to the original website that they wanted to visit. So as you can imagine, this is also very difficult for the target to detect. It requires no specific action from the target, and it lets a company like Intellexa use the already valuable and difficult to develop browser exploits that they developed to again silently infect people just by browsing the web. So here you'll see how Intellexa offers this product. So they sell a product they call MARS, which is an ISP-level network injection system that works and is built in to the Predator spyware system. So you see here on the right, they talk about having the mobile phone on the mobile ISP, and traffic is going through the ISP to the internet, and they'll talk about how they have the MARS server here. And the MARS server can then, for specific target users, monitor the traffic and redirect them to the exploit links when they want to target and infect their devices. So this can be very powerful, and we've seen this being used to deliver other spyware in Morocco. It's been used in Egypt to infect people with Predator spyware. It's been used in Turkey to infect Kurdish activists with spyware as well. And so this is something that, while it can be difficult and expensive to deploy initially, once this kind of physical hardware is deployed in the operator's network, it then becomes very easy to target people at scale, and it makes it very difficult for the individual self to detect this. However, this type of approach of injecting redirects in HTTP traffic has one limitation. So the main limitation is that it only works for HTTP traffic. So if the person is only browsing on HTTPS links, then it becomes impossible for the the Spyro operator to infect and redirect them. So Intellex has actually come up with quite a clever technique to get around this limitation. And they call this product Jupiter, and it's an add-on for their Mars product. So we know about this from looking at some of the leaked brochures of this product. Unfortunately, this is a marketing documentation, so they don't explain exactly how they do the attack, but we think we have a pretty good understanding of how they likely do it based on our analysis of the product. So on the mobile operator side, it's basically the same. They will redirect the traffic of the targeted mobile phone user, basically do the attack the same way from the mobile side. But what's really different about this Jupiter product is they offer the ability to intercept encrypted websites. An important caveat they add is that they can only intercept encrypted websites which are hosted in the country of the operator, of the spyware operator. So how we believe they do this is that they do basically a network injection attack on the hosting provider of particular websites. So you can imagine there is an independent media website hosted in a country. They will install some hardware in their hosting provider network. And then what they can do is they can simply request a new TLS certificate for that website. If people know how TLS certificates are issued, something like Let's Encrypt will send a HTTP request to the website of that's requesting the certificate. In this case, the attackers can see this request coming in over the network. They can then redirect the verification request from Let's Encrypt, for example, to their own server, validate the request, and then get their own TLS certificate issued for another website that they don't control, whether an independent media website or others. They can then take this TLS certificate, load it back into the Mara system that they have deployed at the mobile ISP, and then anytime a person they want to target is browsing the web and browses to this website that they now have the TLS certificate for, they can simply man-in-the-middle connection, inject their own code silently into the connection, and then again redirect people to a predator infection server and infect the device. So this is really quite scary, and it shows how companies like Intellexa are developing tools and products that allows their customers to subvert the very basics of trust on the internet, either to subvert the TLS ecosystem, to subvert our mobile device securities, and really put many people at risk. And as I said, once you have these kind of tools deployed, it's very easy to target more and more people, and very difficult to detect. So that was how they try and enable their customers to target people at ISPs. But they also have a whole suite of what we call tactical network injection products. So these are designed for infecting and targeting phones that are physically nearby to the victim or to the operator. One of the tools they can use to do this is they have like a fake Wi-Fi network or a fake IMSI catcher that will get nearby phones to connect to the Wi-Fi network. Once the target phone is connected to the Wi-Fi network, again, they can wait for the target to make a HTTP request, to make a regular unencrypted connection. Then again, they can redirect them to the infection server, infect the device. This is particularly scary because you can imagine some government operators deploying this, for example, at a protest. Every phone that's nearby at this protest connects to the IMSI catcher, and eventually, as they browse, they can get infected and have the spyware installed. We know companies in the Intellexa Alliance provide such systems that are installed on drones for doing remote Wi-Fi interception. They have IMSI catchers, they have backpack-based ones, they have even what they call like a spy van that has all of this physical hardware installed to, again, target anybody nearby and potentially infect them with Predator. There's also one more particularly interesting product that we see Intellexa offering from in their product range, and this is called Triton. And this is, again, a tactical attack, this time targeting the baseband of Samsung devices. So this is very interesting. So this is maybe the one product that we suspect, we don't necessarily know if it's using a one-click attack or if it's actually a full zero-click exploit targeting the phone itself. But we do know how it operates. So the first step of this attack is that the operator will use an IMSI catcher to hook the target's Samsung phone that's, again, nearby. Once they've connected the phone to the IMSI catcher, they then do a downgrade attack where they move the phone from 5G or 4G all the way down to the legacy 2G network. And then once the phone is talking over 2G, they can use a base station or an SDR to somehow send the malicious payload to the phone, which then causes the phone to be infected. So we don't know if this is, again, a full payload, but maybe they were able to trick the phone into somehow opening a malicious link or a malicious web page through the baseband and using that to compromise the device. Unfortunately, we know what this product looks like, but we don't have the full technical details to identify the exact exploit techniques that they have used. So it's possible that this attack against Samsung basebands is still something that's unpatched or zero day in the wild. I do think it's just important to highlight this because it shows that governments and also mercenary surveillance companies are beginning to use baseband exploits and baseband attacks in the wild and in practice to target people and hack devices. So to wrap up, I'd like to put what we've seen about Intel Access products and the attacks against individuals in the context of the wider ecosystem of surveillance companies. So with the Pegasus project, we saw how one company, NSO, had enabled customers around the world to target thousands of people with spyware, including heads of state and others. I think it's important to say that, you know, this is not a problem of one company. It's not one Israeli company. It's not NSO Group. But there's a whole ecosystem of companies who are selling these kinds of products and tools to enable attacks by governments around the world. Over the last year, working with civil society partners such as Citizen Lab, Access Now, Frontline Defenders, and Reporters Without Borders, we continue to find more and more countries where these tools are continued to be abused to target civil society and predictably, you know, government critics and people who are very much not legitimate targets. If we look at Intel Access alone, we can see that from our own research and investigations that Intel Access has targeted, or sorry, Intel Access has customers in approximately 15 countries around the world, including Vietnam. So what I've shared earlier is just a snapshot of one component of the attacks from one customer of Intel Access. And we already see that it's threatening many people in civil society and heads of state. Here we see with one company, they have 15 different customers, all of whom could be targeting civil society and putting people at risk. The almost total lack of accountability and transparency about where these companies are selling their tools and how these tools are being operated makes it exceedingly difficult for us to understand the full scope of the problem. Almost certainly, we're still only seeing the very tip of the iceberg in the harms created by these tools. As we know, Intel Access is a European surveillance company, but it's by far not the only European company engaged in this business. We have companies such as Dataflow Security, who develop exploits sold to governments to help compromise devices and potentially sold to other surveillance vendors. And we also see other companies such as Miliciam or RCS or Momento Labs in Spain, Italy, the Czech Republic, who are developing end-to-end products that they can then sell to governments to allow them to compromise their targets, and we still have no real visibility into how these companies are being regulated or how their tools are being used. I think one of the reasons that we continue to see these harms continue unabated is that many of the states that are responsible for enforcing how these companies are regulated are also customers of these same companies. Last year in Greece, we saw how dozens of people from media journalists and senior politicians were targeted with the Pegasus spyware, most likely by the Greek authorities. This is also the same authorities which, on the other hand, are meant to be regulating Intel Access, which has a base in Greece, and they're authorizing sales and exports of the Intel Access spyware to Sudan, to RSF militia, or they're authorizing the sales to Madagascar, where these are tools are then being misused. So I think this conflict of interest shows how fundamentally we can't be we can't expect the states who are relying and benefiting from the kind of misuse and lack of accountability of the tools to also rein in and enforce proper safeguards to prevent the harms from these tools. So, what to do? First, as an end user, you can enable various security features on their device, on your device, such as lockdown mode, which can make it much more difficult for these tools to successfully compromise your phone. You can also use always-on VPNs or a HTTPS-only mode to help protect your phones from network injection attacks and similar. But also, what can people in this room do? So, one thing I would ask everyone here is, there's probably people here who work for exploit developers, who work for these companies. I know there is. And so I'd ask you all to just don't work for these companies. I know I... These companies cannot survive without the talent of talented exploit developers and researchers. And I'm sympathetic to the technical challenge of finding this flaw, going through all the hoops to exploit it. But if you want to do this, work for a defensive company. Work to help keep people safe, and don't help for-profit companies who will sell these invasive tools to whoever is the highest bidder. Thank you very much for listening.
Duncan O'Carroll, thank you very much for that talk. We have a little bit time for one or two questions. You want to line up? Is there anything from the internet?
Yes, from the internet there are multiple questions. First one, you mentioned the use of acquiring TLS certificates by intercepting traffic to a hosting provider. Do you have any comment on the recent XMPP server interception incident?
So yeah, I think it's interesting to note with the recent case where a German company maybe was compelled to either misissue a certificate or demand the middle one of their customers. I think it shows that this is a tactic that's being used by more states to try and subvert some of the security mechanisms we all rely on. I think we need more efforts to both monitor this and have researchers trying to document, is this happening in the wild? Is there certificates being misissued? And hopefully try to make it more difficult for malicious actors to get away with these kinds of attacks without detection.
Okay, thanks. Another question from the internet, let's be fair, and because they're not here.
Yes, one other question would be, if Intellexa were able to obtain fraudulent TLS certificates, it would be registered publicly by certificate transparency. Have you looked at the public logs of the websites you suspect to have been affected?
So in this case, it's not necessarily Intellexa is acquiring the certificates themselves, but they're providing a product to their government customers who can then deploy in the network and acquire these TLS certificates. This is something we started to look for. It is, unless we know what websites are being targeted, there's a big pool of possible candidates out there, and so we would like any tips from other researchers who can maybe help us spot either where network injection attacks have happened from a HTTPS website, or have other tips on how to find how these attacks look like in the wild. And as you say, these are logged in a certificate transparency log, so there should be a public record to help try and track down and prove that some of these attacks have happened.
Thanks. Now, microphone one was the first. Please go ahead.
Hi. How hard is it to detect if a device has been compromised? And can you get rid of the infection by computer refreshing the device? Can you also infect desktop systems?
Sure. So in this talk, I focused on Intellexa, and their main product is for mobile devices. Unfortunately, there's always an arms race between the attackers and the governments using these tools and the defenders trying to find them. So in many cases, people who have experience doing this kind of forensic research, some civil society partners have the ability to use forensic tools to find and show traces that either the attack was attempted, if you find the one-click links, or to prove the phone was indeed compromised. But unfortunately, it takes a lot of expertise and it's experience, and it's getting harder all the time. So it's important if people are concerned about this in their civil society to reach out to reputable experts who have experience looking at this. In terms of the actual attacks themselves, in many cases we believe the attacks are in memory. They don't necessarily have persistence, even between reboots. So sometimes just rebooting the phone can be enough to clean the device. But other times it may be necessary to do a full kind of factory reset of the device to clean out any persistence of the spyware that's still there. Thanks.
Thanks. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I have to disappoint for the really big queues all at the microphones. Okay. But I'm sure Danka will be available for you after this session here. Somewhere outside, you can continue your questions, discussions. Thanks a lot.